Welcome to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Morning. I want to urge you to take out your notebooks and your pens, and I want to urge you to take out your phones to really listen up, because this year you're going to hear roughly about 52 messages from the pulpit of this church. But I would dare say that this one is probably so important and so significant that it might actually change the course of your year. And you want to make sure you get some of this because, one, I think it's extremely important for you. But the other reason why is because it's a interestingly rich material that I believe is important as you start your year. The Bible is not just a book. It's not just a book that talks to you about God. The Bible claims to be the eternal Word of God. It's not a book that you study so you can know things about God. It actually claims to be the literal eternal book of God and literally warns you that you should not add to it and you should not subtract to it. It's actually complete. Now, the Bible has two key Greek words for you to understand and appreciate it. The first word is the word logos. The word logos is literally the printed, the word, the actual sentences, the actual syntax of those sentences. That's what logos is. But there's another Greek word that you need to understand about the Bible, and that word is the word rhema. And the rhema word is the spoken word, the living word, the active word, the word that has direct implication and application to your life here and now today. For instance, if you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's the logos. The logos tells you that God created the heavens and the earth. Not a science fiction thingy, not something that evolved. God did that. It may have been a big bang, but God created that big bang that caused everything else to happen. That's the logos. Here is the rhema. The rhema is at the beginning of this year, God is still creating your world, and even though you don't realize it. At the beginning of this year, this is the beginning of the year. This year, as this year starts, that's the logos up there, and that's the rhema. That's something that applies to you today, that at the beginning of this year, this God is still actively creating your world, believe it or not. They're still discovering things in the atmosphere. They're still discovering things underneath the earth, underneath the sea. They're still finding species of animals that they've never figured out existed. Creation is amazing. Now, verse 2 says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." That's the logos. The rhema is right now. Now on the earth, right now, your life is formless and empty. In fact, the future of this year is unclear to you. But thankfully, God is hovering over it right now. That's the rhema. Okay? Do you understand how this works? The Bible is not just a book. The Bible is a powerful book. It is the living Word of God. It's active. The Bible says it's living and active. That old world that is 6,000 years old is still alive today. That's the rhema side of it. And God said, "Let there be light." In other words, literally a big bang, probably. We'll never know. We'll see that in heaven one day. But that's the logos. And there was light because he declared it. The rhema is, however, all it takes is one word from God and all things become clear. That's the rhema. The logos is, the rhema earlier was, this year might be formless and void and dark and you might not be sure and clear about it, but thanks be to God. All it takes is one word from him and things become clear. That's the rhema. Verse 4 says, "God saw the light, it was good. And he separated the light from the darkness." Now, what is the rhema to us today, this year? Here's what it says. Clarity produces good results. In other words, when things are clear, the Bible says God was able to create great things. It allows us to separate what is clear and unclear and to create order in our lives. That's the rhema. In other words, next year, you're going to read the same logos. The rhema is going to be different. Are you following? That's the power of the Word of God. But I'm telling you here and now, right now, for your year to be good, let God's light bring clarity that produces good results, that allows you to separate what is clear and unclear in order that you can create order in your life. What were the ingredients that allowed God, what did God do that produced good results in the midst of a dark, formless beginning? The two ingredients we find are the words clarity. He made things clear. Many times, the reason why we don't see the results that we want to see at the beginning of our year or throughout the rest of our year is because the truth of the matter is we are not clear about what God has in store for us. As a result, we cannot create order in our lives. Our lives are full of disorder. Now, let's talk a little bit about order, okay? By the way, I'm not prescribing this to you. I'm describing it so that you can design your own prescription, because obviously you are not my age. You are not where I am. I'm a grandfather. Okay, I'm a pastor, you're a businessman. So I'm describing to you how to bring clarity and order to your year so that you can see the results that God had intended for you. This is what a gym looks like today. At the beginning of the year, everybody will rush to the gym, and in a few months, this is what it will look like. Because a lot of people think that starting early is important. They don't understand, starting clear is vital, because clarity creates order. This is my clarity sheet for the year last year. I do this every year. I write a 2-page sheet just to make sure I'm clear. You'll notice at the top it says confidential, and that's why there are markings there that are covered, because some of those are confidential. I start the year by declaring it is only by grace I can do the stuff I do. You'll find my daily rituals that I've committed myself to God. That's why I started the year with fasting, because that's a priority. That's important. I've got to be clear. That's the most important part of my life. The relationships, my body, my money, my hobbies, the things that I do. There you find the key ingredients to my success as a professional pastor. There you'll find the schedule of the trips I did last year. You'll find Guam, Singapore, Japan, Paris, Turkey, Malaysia, Cebu, Anvaya. That was a vacation time. Ilocos, I was in Iloilo. And there you see the trips that I didn't make because my father got sick. There's things that are in my life last year that are so clear. It's easy to create order. Then you find at the bottom there, the two worlds set up, because I now live partially in Singapore and partially in Manila. I've got to have a two world set up. And I was clear about the things that I needed to create order in. In essence, 2016 was spiritually, relationally, and professionally, as well as personally, something that worked. And the reason why was because of this word called clarity. The clearer we are about our lives this year, and that's my hope. My hope is that this message will make you walk out of here with a greater sense of clarity. How do you create clarity? Where does that begin? What am I trying to be clear about? You're trying to be clear about your calling. I had a young pastor from the United States come and visit me here, and he sat down and said, I know you only have an hour for me, and if you could distill a business or a pastoral or a leadership tool that I need to learn, what is that one thing among all the things that you know about leadership, what's the one thing that you would advise me? And I said, you know what, Justin, no one has ever asked me this question in my life. So give me a few minutes to think about it. And I sat there for a few minutes and thought about it. Finally, I said, you know what, Justin, clarity. Most people never get to where they're going because they're not clear. And clarity is so important, I think it's the number one tool a leader needs. Now, what exactly am I supposed to be clear about? You need to be clear about your calling, okay? And your calling has a general sense of clarity. In other words, when you're called by God, there's a general side to it and there's a specific side to it. Let me deal first with the general side of clarity, okay? We find that in John chapter 15, verse 16. Jesus said, you do not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you In other words, this idea of calling is somebody chose you or called you and appointed you, called you to do this, and you did not do this. A calling is not something you do. It is something that God does to you. Are you clear about that? If you're not clear about that, that you think that you are the one calling yourself to a job, to a position, to a role, you're probably not going to get the clarity you need this year. Hello. The starting point of clarity is, are you clear that God chose you and appointed you, called you in a sense? To what? He's called you, first of all, to bear fruit. He wants you to have a lot of fruit. In fact, he doesn't want you to have a lot of fruit. He doesn't want you to have much fruit. He wants you to have lasting fruit. He wants you to have a fruitful life, that fruitfulness is so fruitful, it keeps producing itself. That's a picture of fruitfulness. It just multiplies by itself. So what exactly does God call you to? Or all of us? This is a general calling. In other words, there's not a single person on earth that God has not called to this. The first thing that God calls all people to Him is to follow Him. You and I are called by God to follow God. You did not choose God. You did not decide to do that. God is calling you. Even though you don't want to follow Him, He's still calling you. Everybody following? He's called you to a family. How many of you know you did not choose your family? God put you there. He called you to that family. He appointed you. He chose that family for you. That's a general thing. You don't have any choice about it. He called you to a nation. In other words, if you're Singaporean, you're Filipino, you're Malaysian, He called you. You did not choose that. He appointed you and called you and put you there. Then He calls you to a body. In other words, you don't choose the church you go to. God chooses it for you, calls you, and appoints you to a body of believers. You're not going to go very far as a Christian believer without a body. How many of you know, regardless of how beautiful a set of eyes are, when they're not connected to a body, they are monstrous? Because you and I were called to be part of a body. That's a part of your calling. Do you understand that? Is that clear to you? Because if that's not clear to you, your general and most basic calling is unclear. And your chances of order and success is very low. You probably will make it to the gym on January, amen? And will be out of there by March. Then you have a general calling to occupy something. You have a job. There's something you're supposed to do. You're either a wife, a mother. That's an occupation. That's a very honorable occupation. My wife was a full-time mother. That's hard. Hello? It's easier to be an accountant than to be a mother, amen? Honestly, I mean, you're a part-time hardware specialist, you're a part-time electrician, part-time gardener, you're a part-time everything. On top of that, you're supposed to be nice to your husband at the end of the day. So that's the general calling, and I hope that's clear to you today. Because I find many believers who come to church, they're not even clear about that. You're called by God, chosen. He demands it, by the way. You can reject Him, that's fine, at your own loss, at your own loss of clarity. Now, there's a second side to clarity, and that's being specific. There's a specific thing that I was not called to your wife, amen? I'm called to a specific family, called to a specific nation, called to a specific church, and you can understand that better by these words. A calling is generally external. It's something that somebody calls you to. It's something that's personal. It's something that only you can do. No one else can do it. In other words, if you were born Mitchell, who's the second born of the Matsuwakis, no one can take that place. Hello, right? Some of you are still not understanding this. It's a calling. It's personal. No one can be that. There's an opportunity that will open to you that's just for you. This is the beautiful thing about knowing your calling. There are things that are externally going to happen to you, that are personally designed for you, doors that will open opportunities just for you, that will be appealing to you. It will actually literally appeal to you. You actually like it. That's the fascinating part about the calling and being clear about it. Most people don't get there. They'll spend a year doing stuff. Now, Psalm 70, verse 78, 70 to 71 says, this is the prototype of that thing. It says, he chose. In other words, it's an external God who called David. David did not choose it. He wasn't appointed king by himself. It was an external person, God, who called him. It was personal. It was something only David could do that. There was no one else at that moment in time that God called for that personal role. In many real sense, that's why I'm here in Singapore. There's an external God that called me here, and there's a personal thing that God's called me for a limited time to do here that I know only I can do. The clearer that is for you, the clearer your days will be. And he took him from the sheep pens. In other words, there's a side of this for tending the sheep. He took him from tending the sheep. There's a literal opportunity that will open up to you that only you can do. And you find that it says to him, the shepherd of this Israel, the shepherd of his people Israel. In other words, he was appealing to David. He was a shepherd. So now, how do we do this? Now that we know, okay, there's a calling, it's general and it's specific. The question is, how do I get there? How do I make this work? Pastor, this year, how can I clearly know the general calling? General calling is clear, hopefully. But how do I know my specific calling? There's three things that you're going to need. First of all, you're going to need what is known as a sieve. You're going to have to filter all your activities through the sieve and see, put the things that you're doing and see, is it going through? Whatever goes through the sieve, that's what's clear. That's what you should be putting your effort and energies to. And there's three parts of the sieve. The first is spiritual. The second is relational. And the third is practical. There's three things that you need to clarify your calling, your specific calling. Spiritual, relational, and lastly, something that's practical. Something that actually works. Let's talk about the spiritual side of this clarity. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." The kingdom of God to which you were called to, in other words, if you're a member of the kingdom of God, God's called you to this place. He says it's not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of things. It's not a matter of food. It's not a matter of economics. Don't start there. A lot of people will make their plans on the basis of that. I was walking through our offices in Kallang, and the offices that I never saw filled in November and December, they were multi-level marketing companies, realty companies. There were no people there in November, December. Now they're all packed. They're like gyms. Because people start there. The Bible says don't start there. The kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. It's about righteousness. Do you know what's right? Do you know what God called you to do that's right? Do you know things that are against the Bible? Do you know that you shouldn't be lying? Do you know that you shouldn't be cheating? Do you know certain things that are righteous, that if that's not righteous, you don't want to do that? Because that's not going to bear the fruit of God. Is that righteous? Is this creating peace in my life, in my wife's life, in my children's life? Clarify that, folks. I pray, I beg, I prod you, if you want to have a great year this year, sheath your life. Is this righteous? Is this in fact, I plead with you for your sakes, for years from now, for your children, for your husband, for your wife, for yourself, for your health. Is this producing peace? Is this creating joy? Not just money. Some people think, if I had more money, I'll have joy. No. I can tell you right now, I pastored a big church. I have a lot of very wealthy friends that are not very joyful and don't have a lot of peace either. receive your life, clarify this year. Is this thing I'm doing righteous in God's sight? Is this thing I'm doing in the order of what God wants me to do with my life? Is this thing creating peace and is it creating joy? I was having lunch with a member of this church who was a member of our church in Manila. He's an executive here, and his wife and I had lunch with him last week after the service here last Sunday. And during the lunch, the wife began to tell me what happened to her. And she said last year, because she wanted more money, she joined this company on a sideline basis. And it started to disarrange her homeschooling, started to disarrange her time with her children, started to disarrange her health because she got unclear. She started prioritizing money. And I think it was one moment when she was praying that things got clear and God said, you're not supposed to be doing that. Why are you even doing that? It's probably going to give you nicer clothes, probably give your kids a lot more books, but that's not necessarily what I want you to do. I want you to get in me. I want you to work with me. I want you to wait for me. I want you to do what's righteous, what's peaceful, what's joyful, because if you do that, I'll bless you. Interestingly, she said, a business that she had before that she couldn't have done, she couldn't have opened, she couldn't have arranged, she could not have closed, happened just because she got clear. It didn't happen the next day, the next week, the next month. It happened a few months after. But clarity in God, spiritually, will get you God's results. Second part of the sheaf, relational clarity. You filter that thing. Is this righteous? Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 says, again, truly I say to you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by their Father in heaven. He says this idea of agreement, this idea of agreeing with someone else, this idea says that if you do it, it'll be done for you by your Father in heaven. In other words, does your wife even agree about this thing you want to do? Does your husband even agree with this? Or even if your husband and your wife agrees with it, who else is in agreement? I remember years ago, I had an opportunity to work overseas. Before I became a pastor, I was a businessman. I had an opportunity to work overseas, got offered a lot of money. Decided not to do it because my wife, number one, did not agree. And every pastor around me said, don't do it, Joe. It's not God. Do you even cause your year and your plans to go through other people to agree with you? And that's why what Pastor Larry said is so important. Are you in a small group? Because you might not even have friends that you can agree with. As I close, there's a practical side to this. It's not just spiritual. It's not just relational. It's practical. Is that thing you're about to do something you enjoy doing? Is it the passion? Is that thing you're doing something you're good at? In other words, if you say, I'm called to be a singer, but nobody believes that, then that's not your calling. Amen? Okay, I'm called to be a fashion model, but you don't even look like one. I mean, hello? That's just your passion. That's not your excellence. That's not what you're proficient in. Practical side of it is there's a side of it that's economic. In other words, is somebody who needs to pay for you for this? In other words, even if you wanted to stay home as a housewife, if there's no money to do that, then you're going to have to work and do both. Amen? So don't just grab this. There's a proficiency side to this. And there's an economic side. This is why I told you to take notes. Amen? Because you want to go home and ask yourselves, does this sheaf exist for me? Do I process things using a spiritual grid? Am I looking at righteousness, peace? Am I looking at joy? Am I looking at relationships? Am I looking at the fact that someone's agreeing with me? And you gotta do this, folks. Lay out a plan this year that's like this and expect. Everybody say expect. You can actually expect fruitfulness. I've had tragedies this year. I did 8 funerals this year. Almost lost my dad this year. I had things that I had to rearrange this year. But you know what? Overall, it was an amazing and fruitful year. Because things were clear. Check the practical side of it. Is this something you love doing? Or is it a dredge? Is it a dread, rather? In other words, every time you get into work, it's killing you. Is this something you're good at? And is it something that creates profit for you? Because, folks, when you have clarity, it's easy to create order. When things are clear, it's easy to say, no, that's not for me. That's not for me. That's not for me. There's things that you can give up because I don't need it. Genesis chapter 1 verse 6 says, and God said, let there be a vault between the waters that separate the water to the water. In other words, that word separate, the word baudal. When you're clear, you can separate this. That's not for me. That word is the word divide, select, distinguish, to order. When you have clarity, there's things that you can distinguish. No, 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 that's not it. No, no, that's not it. That's not it. This is it. These are the few that are important. Verse 7, God made the vault and separate. There's that word separate again. The water under the vault and the water above it, and it was so. In other words, you see the results. Verse 8 says, God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, and there was the second day. In other words, you can now create order and schedules in your life because you got clarity. Verse 12 says, the land produced results, and God saw that it was good. That's what happens when you have clarity. You have order, you have results, and you end up enjoying those results because the land produces it and it's good. And you end up enjoying it. When you order yourselves with clarity, order, you get results that are enjoyable. You'll have time for family. You'll have time to hang out with your children. You'll have time to go to all the weddings you want to. You'll have time for dates. You'll have time for parties. You'll even have time to take care of your parents. Because things are clear. And things are ordered. You can expect results. Life is going to be fun. Clarity. Be clear. Is this righteous? Is this going to bring peace? Is this going to bring joy? Who is in agreement with this? Then expect order. Expect results. Expect to enjoy your year this year. Start your year with core, right? Start with a core this year. Not with jogging, amen? Work on the core this year. Stand on your feet as we close in the word of prayer. Just close your eyes, bow your heads, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Father, we realize that there's been a lot that has been said here this morning. But Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is hovering over this deformed, unformed, dark year. We thank you for your rhema word. God, this season, we can expect clarity, order, results, and even enjoyment. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, and even I myself, Lord. Help us that this be a year of great clarity. That this be a year of your order. And as such, Lord, we trust. Lift up your hands towards heaven as an act of faith. God, by faith, we will see your results. Not out of a vacuum, God. Not out of just a wish. Not just out of wishful thinking and dreaming and confessing, God. But because we believe by faith, you'll give us clarity this year. You'll give us order this year. And so we can expect results that we will enjoy. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your morning.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Church Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, please visit everynation.org.sg.